Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody. JTE, you are messing with my headphones and I can't hear anything.
Can you hear now?
I can hear now. Okay. Thank you guys for bearing with us. Sorry we're starting a little bit late. Some people over there were having some sort of diabolical meeting.
It was raining.
It was raining, yeah.
The 405 was packed.
That's why you're complaining? Yeah. That is why I'm wearing a hat, because it's raining, so I just put hats on. I don't own jackets with hoods.
USC?
In California, it's not supposed
she's
to
got,
be
She's
there.
Got her USC privileged uniform on today.
Did you go to USC?
I did go to USC.
Wow.
Yeah, she went to... She got a medical degree, don't she?
I don't have a medical degree, but I did go to USC, so I'm wearing the hat today. But welcome back to Box Office Breakdown, guys.
I got a haircut, too. Nobody's seen that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was supposed to draw special attention to the fact that Tom got a haircut.
I did. I needed to.
What is your reasoning again?
Well, I wanted to give a lot of the other guys in Los Angeles a chance, to get women.
So you admit that your haircut is nerdy.
Yeah, it's nerdy now. Well, you know, the thing was my hair, the women were focusing on my hair and beard rather than, my raw intellectualism, which I think is really...
your
is
intellectual
my,
talent.
Well, yeah, which is my real,
Your craziness comes a little less crazy when you're more trimmed down with the hair and the beard, I guess. I mean, you had like a crazy...
I looked like a grizzly. I had to shave my beard. I had to put scissors to my beard. I couldn't even shave it.
I agree with that.
It was nuts.
All right, so let's get into the numbers for
this
week.
Let's do it.
Also, before we do that, though, shout out. We are going to take phone calls about the last 10 or so minutes of the show. Sorry we didn't get to as many of you guys last week, so we be prepared this week to call in. All right, the top five. Let's start with the fact that number 2 through 5... Very close.
Paper thin.
I mean, we are even debating if these are going to be the actual standings when actual numbers come out. As of now, Tom is winning. He had the most, but everything is so close.
Yeah.
So I vote it as Tom and I both won because at least we had the Lazarus effect part of it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is SpongeBob, when actuals come in, I'm going to be 5 for 5 instead of 3 for 5.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's point out.
All right.
Our caller was 0 for 5.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Sorry. What was his name? Dylan?
Esposito. Yeah. Esposito.
I understand. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
All right. Starting with number 5, The Lazarus Effect.
Yep.
Coming in at 10.6 million. It's opening week. Thank you, Miss Olivia Wilde. The horror movie of the list. Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, 50 Shades of Grey. Dropping another huge drop. 50.9. Last week it was dropping like 70%. It only brought in 10.9 million this past weekend. It is only in its third week. That's domestically getting about $148 million dollars so far. But huge drops every week, and I think that trend's going to keep on going. All right, number 3, being that it's the only kids movie on the list, it's still hanging in there, to my surprise. In its fourth week, the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, 11.2. So that's a 32% drop. And the budget for this movie was $74 million. So.
Yeah, it's made $140 million so far.
It's going to keep going, too. There's no other child's.
Yeah.
And there's no other kids movies for a while.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And maybe you'll get some people going to see Cinderella, some kids, but not a lot of little guys.
No.
All right, let's go to number 2. Kingsman. Good job, Kingsman. In its third week, dropped 36%, but made $11.7 million. I'm very happy for this movie.
It's really good for its third week.
My favorite movie in the top 5 right now.
Yeah.
Good job. Word of mouth held this one strong, brought it into the second spot. Tom's hoping that it eventually drops to the third with actuals.
No, second. Oh, yeah. Kingsman, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope SpongeBob takes a hike forever, though.
We have not gotten to number 1. Number 1, of course, we all said was going to be Focus. Bringing in $19.1 million. I will say that I said that it had to make over 10 And it did, and then it won.
I was saying that to you know, if it made under 20, it would be kind of a blow to his...
I think so.
And, it, and that, that was one of the headlines, by the
I
way.
I think in the actuals, it's going to even be lower. It's probably be 18-something. But look, a movie like this, it didn't... Nobody really knew what was going on. Like, yes, it's a heist movie, and everybody is like, oh, yeah, I want to be fooled or whatever.
I don't really even think that was clear.
It really wasn't. There was no clear-cut thing. I heard it's like a love story.
I think that... Everyone out there has said the marketing is pretty much horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple posters for it. I could, besides the fact that I know Will Smith and Margot are in it, I have no idea what this movie is about.
Yeah. Nobody does.
I don't know if they're the good guys, the bad guys, running from the, like, who knows? I have no idea what function they play in this story.
Yeah.
I do know that overall it's some sort of crime-ish movie.
Sure, of course. I mean, Warner Brothers wanted like mid-20s, maybe even high-20s, so they can get like a 4 multiple or some shit. But this movie would be lucky to top out at 60 in the box office, which is not good. I mean, the $20 million it made, or whatever, give or take, is just because of Will Smith alone.
Yeah. But if you also look, like, the last movie made by these directors was Crazy Stupid Love, and it's the exact, pretty much on par with how
Will
that
Smith
opens
is,
as well.
Yeah, that's
now
a thing.
Now he's on par with Ryan Gosling now, but...
But that's the thing, Will Smith should be able to open a movie more than $20 million. Well, he gets paid, that's his paycheck, basically, for a movie is $20
million. If this has DiCaprio in it, it's $40 million opening.
That's a good point, yeah.
Easily.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people are saying his star has been falling
Maybe even Denzel.
But also, I think you're going to put it out there. You're going to put that out there. If Leonardo DiCaprio was in this movie, the marketing would have been so much crazier. They didn't utilize Will Smith. We weren't seeing him going... I wasn't seeing him going on shows and promoting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see them making the rounds, none of the carpets. No one was going, oh, you're coming out with this new movie called Focus. What is it? It was nowhere near the entertainment news spectrum.
No.
Well, and most of the time, big stars do go on they'll go on talk shows. They bring it up. Mm-hmm. That's making PR.
He did some rapping on like Jimmy Kimmel or something like that.
He does it all the time. Well, here's the thing: Will Smith is a huge actor. He still has some bank. But the fact that you're releasing a Will Smith vehicle in February tells you kind of everything you need to know about how the studio felt about this movie going in. They knew this thing wasn't going to be a big hit. It probably did fine in test audiences, but it was not going to be a blockbuster. And it's this weird, it's for adults. I would say that's the market is for adults.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see the teenage crowd like running to go see this movie just from the trailers? No.
No. He's.
I also feel like the lack of marketing has hurt it. If you look on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like a 55% from critics and it's got a 64% from audiences. That's not terrible. That's not at the level that you completely shy away from. Like SpongeBob is at 61% from the audiences, and it's been sticking around for the 3 weeks. Like, the Duff's at 77. Like, it's not being told it's a total failure, and they've marketed it as if it was a total failure.
Well,
they marketed it so that people are like, I don't want to see that because of the lack of the respect that the studio has shown it in their marketing.
Well,
that just makes you think it's bad.
Here's the thing. So far, Will Smith has had two kind of releases. It's either a huge blockbuster during the summer, or it's when he's trying to make an Oscar push in the fall. This is neither of those. This is a February release that he was just doing because maybe they had hope for this to be like an Oscar tender, but once they started filming it and they saw what was in the can, they're like, yeah, this thing's not going to do it. We got through it in February.
I mean, one good thing about it is that it's made more than Mordecai and Black Hat combined.
True. Yeah, it's not...
That's not difficult.
Yeah.
And that does go to show, like, he's not... Even though he's a falling star, he's not obviously a falling star because...
No.
He's still... That name alone will get butts in the seats.
Independence Day 2 comes out.
So, I was going to say. So, how does Will Smith save his box office career?
Independence Day 2. I'd hire a zillion dollars to write that.
That's in production. He's not in it. He's already said no.
Ugh. So bad move. Then the script must be horrible.
You know what? This is why I think he jumped to DC, because attach yourself to something that you know is a known property, and that's the way Hollywood's going right now. Nothing is like Independence Day would barely happen nowadays because it's not a franchise. Everything's about property and having a built-in audience. And I think one of the reasons he probably joined Suicide Squad because it's part of DC. It's part of this comic book craze.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for him to save his career in a way.
Yeah, it's him and Denzel are, you know, two biggest black actors in the world. You know, you would argue. I wouldn't even argue that. Would you argue that?
No, those are the top two.
I don't think Will Smith can open something like Equalizer. You know, but action comedy
I don't know
is.
About that. I don't know about that because it's action and it's Will Smith. I think that will.
Yeah, I think he could.
I think it could. Because the reason why this is new because it's not in that category. It's
action
an adult
comedy?
Film.
Well, maybe they should have.
There's no action in this movie.
There is no action in it. Except maybe Margot Robbie getting naked. That's about the only action is.
that's a different kind of action.
Yeah, that's good action.
But I'm just saying, this is, listen, I understand why he did this, because
good
after
job,
Earth
guys.
Failed, he probably just wanted to do a quality project. And again, I don't think they were looking for, you know, big budget numbers on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will get him in some good graces, but until he does something big like Suicide Squad, he's not going to be on the radar again.
Probably right.
All right, so that is our, we'll see what Focus does next weekend.
And 2 through 5 are basically all made the same money.
Exactly.
It's That's unbelievable.
It was a tough week, we said it.
Yeah, even our color sales are going to be one of the lowest weekends. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. everything here made about $10, $11 million.
That was the only thing he's right about.
Not much. And then we can look into bigger drops.
I'm only kidding.
Mike Farland dropped completely off the list to number 6, the Duff down to number 8. Still, Alice is going up at, is in, it's number 9.
Yeah. That's off the Oscar win.
Yep.
It went up 24%.
How much
Hot Tub? That's what I want to get to. Hot Tub Time Machine, just because we have to talk about it. It is only in its second week, Hot Tub Time Machine. It made 2.4. Give it the 0.4, JT.
2.4
million, dropped almost 60%.
It's made up to $10 million so far.
It's toast.
It had only a $14 million budget. It still hasn't even made it. It's
gonna make its money in Slovenia.
The
though.
Duff, which is not even a sequel, has made $20 million. Double that, and it's not even a sequel, and has no famous.
Hot Tub Time Machine is a lame excuse.
Still, Alice was only made for $5 million. And it's almost made 12.
Also, like, American Sniper. Still, even the American Sniper got basically shut out of the Oscars. I think it won one technical award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
still in the top 10, number 7, up to $331 million. Man,
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Highest grossing of 2014.
Yeah,
50 Shades of Grey. There was an interesting story out of England.
Okay.
Some lady went into the theater, like, just obliterated drunk.
Okay.
And, like, destroyed the whole theater. And I'm not talking, like, she like, popcorn and candy bars and ripped the seats out of the sockets.
What do you mean?
All her bodily fluids, like, lost herself.
Okay, I read about this.
And they basically had to...
She pleasured herself, basically, right?
No, she was, like...
That's what I read.
No, bodily fluids, like, throwing up and... Every office was spewing.
I have heard about I've heard about people getting arrested from 50 Shades of Grey screenings.
She cleared the theater. It smelled so bad, they said.
They
had to bring in the Board of Health and the theater. The whole theater is shut
down. Telling the truth?
Yes, the truth, yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't heard that one. I've heard all of the people getting arrested.
Her husband had to drag her out.
Oh, her husband was there?
Yeah, and I don't know what the hell she's probably like, hey, I'll just let her get really drunk and then do whatever I want to her later, or in the movie theater. They shut the whole thing down and still not open. She owes that guy big time, let's put it that way.
I have not heard about that story, but that's a little bit crazy. Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey not doing well. I don't know if I believe it. I do believe in the people getting arrested. I've heard about that.
I'd like to say one thing about Lazarus Effect. I didn't put it in my top 5. I put number 6 and I had 5 McFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that is, and listen, it didn't do very good. It made $10 million, which I guess ain't horrible because horror movies don't have big budgets.
Yeah, but that's what Blumhouse Pictures do. They do $10 million, they do mm-hmm. $5 million, then they're out of theaters and they have life on DVD. And, you know,
The reason why I put McFarlane there is because you have Kevin Costner. It had good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very good.
The
reviews.
Lazarus really has nobody famous. I mean, is Olivia Wilde a household name?
Yeah, but no.
Olivia Wilde is famous.
The Puss has got the League.
Indie film, but no one knows that guy besides from the League.
Yeah, but he's got an HBO show coming out now. He did that puffy chair. You know, he runs around like the Silver Lake. Like, you know who likes him? Like Santa Monica dads who have like a couple of kids and stuff. They relate to him. With the khakis and the hair and stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, listen. I think that's $10 million. I guess is okay for that movie. But I was pretty close to saying it might not make top 5. It barely made top 5.
Yeah, you're close.
Sure. Go ahead.
Just trying to redeem myself.
There's a little bit of a jump.
Everybody laughed at me. It's SpongeBob number 2, and he almost made it.
Yeah,
all
that's
right,
true.
Let's get into our international numbers. All right, for the third week in a row, let's talk about some 50 Shades of Grey. Took the first place in the international box office. The worldwide phenomenon added 36 million from 59 markets, which brings its overseas total to a stunning $338.4 million.
It would have been more if they didn't. You know, the lady in the theater didn't kick everybody out.
The funny thing is, the movie is, you know, dropping dramatically
in the US,
but it is killing overseas. So I think they're completely happy with what they did in America, especially that opening weekend. Everything in America at this point is just bonus because they're cleaning up internationally.
An overview, it has earned $486 million now worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere, and it's on track to reach $500 million in the next week or so.
Half a billion dollars for that movie.
Fifty Shades of Grey.
Seeing this movie multiple times.
Sure, it's funny. I feel like
he did quotation marks for everybody
in the U.S. In the U.S., Fifty Shades of Grey has been getting a lot of flack about people dropping out of the franchise.
Is he officially out? The guy?
No, he's going to do it. They're going to offer him like $50 million. That guy's no money.
Lead actor might not be coming back. You know, his wife's not happy. Yeah. They're looking for, who knows if the director's coming back.
She'll be happy when she's that pager.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Here we go.
As an actress.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, if you have boyfriends, stuff like that. And you were up for the new 50 Shades of Grey. And you had to do everything. I mean, you know, I think you're comfortable with nudity if I, you know, pin you properly. I would think that why would a guy or a girl get mad at their significant other? It's only acting. Unless Mickey Rourke's involved, obviously, because he has real sex with them.
I think it's hard to say because I feel like it varies on relationship. Tread lightly on these things because you don't know what's going on with them. You don't know if it might not just because it was obviously fine when he started filming.
Mm-hmm. True.
Who knows what happened in their own private affairs that might have set off some red flags where now it's not okay.
But maybe he
filmed the first one.
Well, he brought some of the toys home or something like that.
No, and she was happy and she was going to the premieres and they stayed together. So obviously it wasn't like, this has been something wrong from the very beginning. It is something that she's now no longer okay with. Who knows why?
Well, Johnson is broke up with her boyfriend or vice versa. I mean, single. Yeah, she destroyed like in a bad way.
You never know. I think that's
Angelina Jolie. I mean, they hooked up and they're married now, whatever they are. But also, is it friends that gossip and be like, Sarah, you know, your boyfriend's on this show. He's going to fall in love with Zooey Deschanel or something like that.
I love Zooey.
Personally, I'm a firm believer in the fact that I think that you can fall in love with multiple people. And I think you have to choose.
So do I.
I think you choose. I think that you choose who you stay with.
I agree.
Like, I think that when you say you're going to get married someone, it's not that like, I could never be attracted to anyone else. It's that I'm choosing to be with you for forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that when you go into a movie, even I don't think it's right for anyone to be like, I'm not attracted to this person. If they're obviously attractive because you're being cast in a movie, we're going to be naked together. But you're like, but I'm not choosing to be with you. I'm choosing to go home to my wife or whatever.
Sometimes it's a special connection.
If Dakota fell out and they came to you to be in a movie, would you be comfortable doing? I'm just curious.
For what movie?
It's 50 Shades 2.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Absolutely.
For that bunch of money, I will do that.
All right.
Yes.
Well, now that we've got
enough. Half a billion franchise.
That's a good topic. I like that answer.
Our next user poll will be, who is willing to be in the 50 Shades of Grey sequel?
Seriously.
All right. Now let's go on to Kingsman. I'd rather be in Kingsman 2 than 50 Shades of Grey 2.
Okay.
I'm just putting that out there.
That'd be cool.
Playing in 67 markets, Kingsman, the Secret Service, took in $25.6 million this weekend. It continued to do excellent business in South Korea, where it held onto the first place with 5.3. And to date, it's the fourth highest grossing Fox movie ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the sequel written all over this thing. You're going to have a chance because this thing is making so much money and it didn't have a big budget.
Yeah.
So,
People like it.
People are joining the hell out of
it. People are really happy. I've heard from multiple people, even though I believe some of our watchers, seeing it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I am all on board with that. I would totally see this movie again. All right. Let's talk about a movie we haven't talked about in a while, but it was mentioned at the Academy Awards
because
it won for Best Animated Feature. Big Hero 6 has opened in China to $14.8 million this weekend. So that is the biggest debut ever for a Disney animated release there. Yes, overall it took in $21.6 million for a new total of $351.3 million.
I'm not surprised because number one, Oscar win. But number two, superhero movies are killing overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And you bring a Disney animated film with a superhero movie, plus it's like San Fran, Tokyo, so it has a lot of Asian culture built into it. It's kind of a perfect recipe for
These things are making
it
so
took
much
a while,
money.
Guys.
Yeah, it
took
did.
A while to get there. We got that one over 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, it opened in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, right. Russia. All right, the second best exotic Marigold Hotel has opened in 3 markets. We haven't gotten it yet. It's coming out next weekend.
That's
but
right.
It earned an estimated $9.4 million this weekend. It took first place in the UK with $5.9 million, which is 170% above the original debut.
Jesus.
So this is obviously the second in this franchise, which originally was just a small indie movie, but people loved it.
It's about
and
old
this
people
made,
running around in like
this is
a
making
colony,
JTE
right?
reconsider his predictions.
Well, here's the thing. It's full English actors. So it's no surprise for me that it opened this well. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see how it does this weekend, but I'll get into that more later.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be along the same lines of the Helen Mirren movie about...
Which one? Helen
Mirren?
The
one that came out last year about the restaurant.
Oh, the Queen. Queen Elizabeth.
No.
That was years ago. I don't know what Helen Mirren
movie. I'll look it up, whatever movie it is.
Yeah, which one?
We seem to have a caller.
Got a caller already?
Wow.
Are we going to take callers already?
Sure. All right, you know what? We'll take a break. Hey, what's going on?
This is Dylan Esposito trying to redeem myself.
Oh, man.
Hey, what's up?
We can't do the top five yet.
How's it going?
We can't do your top five yet.
I'm getting killed on the show so far.
Yeah, you did a great job.
0 for 5.
No backtracking. I heard what you said, Tom.
Yeah, no, I did.
It's all good, man. Hey, listen, you made a ballsy move with that. You know, focus not getting number one. But listen, even though he's a fading star, you can't count Will Smith out. He's going to get that number one most of the time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
you're under myself this week, though.
I like that.
This is the redemption.
Nice.
All right. Well, we're not doing predictions yet, but call in later, and maybe we'll get yours again. All right. Sound good, buddy?
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
all right. Thanks for calling, man.
Thanks for calling in.
Dylan, number one fan.
Yes.
The movie I was talking about, 100-Foot Journey, came out last week. It's going to be the same crowd.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I never saw it.
Oh, it was good. It was good. All right. So let's get on. Those are our international numbers.
You know what
let's
it's time
go
for.
To.
You know what's time for.
No, it didn't work. There we go.
Because it's time for the international title game.
Build up. That was for Big Hero 6.
Good job.
Yep.
Great.
This is going to be a good one.
Okay. It's always a great way to start.
Yeah. This is my favorite game of all time.
Okay.
Obviously, foreign movie titles for American things.
Yep.
You picked the fake one.
Let's do it.
Okay.
This one's sent in from my buddy Yuri, my Facebook buddy. Yuri Majeri or something. Sorry if I got your name wrong, but.
Okay.
It's from Italy.
Italy. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Sudden Impact.
Oh, the Van Damme movie.
No. With Clint Eastwood.
Oh, the Clint Eastwood one. That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Dirty
Double
Harry
Impact
film.
Impact was the...
Yeah, that's right. No. Sudden Death was the movie I was thinking of. Yeah, this
hey,
is
Dirty
Harry.
We're not debating the real titles. We're supposed to be debating the fake
once again,
titles.
Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact from Italy.
Clint Eastwood. Come on, get yourself killed. Sort of like a playoff, like, go ahead, make my
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. Okay.
China.
Yes.
Yes. Norbit.
Oh,
the Eddie Murphy
Norbit.
Classic. Or, you know, regardless of who's saying it, the movie that ruined Eddie Murphy's career. Rice Story. Rice Story. Like White Rice Story.
White, is it White Rice Story
no,
or Rice
just
Story?
Rice, Rice Story.
Okay. I have no idea what that means. Go ahead.
I don't know.
China Again.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
The Sarah Jessica Parker Classic. Life Without Dick.
That is a real movie?
Yep.
I never heard of that one.
I've never heard of this movie.
The thing is, A Woman's Worst Nightmare.
Oh, wait, so the movie's called Life Without Dick.
Yeah.
And the foreign title is Woman's Worst Nightmare.
Yes, correct.
Okay, like if you told me Life Without Dick was the international name for Sex in the City, that would actually kind of work.
Yeah, that's true too.
Go ahead.
It's true.
We're not debating the real titles, JT.
I'm just breaking it down.
I'm breaking it down. China, again, we're going to go with an Eddie Murphy classic, Pluto Nash.
Oh, man, you're bringing out his greatest hits.
Wang, Interstellar, Adventure Time.
That has got to be fake or real. That's tough.
So once again, this is a tough one.
JT, what was that? It's has gotta to be fake
or real.
Or real?
It really does.
Really?
Yeah, really. Is there anything else?
It's what it's like
middle ground.
It's
real.
It's an extreme of both.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once again, Italy, Sudden Impact, the Clint Eastwood classic. Come on, get yourself killed.
Okay.
China, Life Without Dick, the Sarah Jessica Parker classic, A Woman's Worst Nightmare. China, Norbid, Rice Story. China, Pluto Nash, Wang, Interstellar, Adventure Time. So do we have a caller that could want to guess on this or no?
Probably not. They're not calling until later. Okay. So don't worry about it. All right. Oh, man. This is a tough one.
Jupiter,
Josh, you got one for us?
Look. Wang, Interstellar, Adventure Time. If that was a Japanese title, I'd believe it. But usually the Chinese are a little less bad with the crazy, you know, anime stuff.
So that's what you're going with?
I'm going with that.
I'm struggling with that one and Dirty Harry myself. And I think I'm going to... I'm with Jupiter.
No, go
Josh.
With the other one. Yeah. I want to go with the Adventure Time.
All right, you
whatever.
Go with that. I'm going to do Sarah Jessica Parker one. Screw it.
We're all going to be wrong.
Well,
and it's going to be
gonna,
Rice Story. Yeah.
I feel like that was not weird enough. Go ahead. Are you sticking with Jupiter, Josh?
Yeah.
All right, hit me, man. Where are we at?
JT, you're right.
Yes!
The Sarah Jessica Parker classic Life Without
Dick.
Yes,
back in the winner's circle.
It's not a woman's worst nightmare, but it should be.
It's a man's worst nightmare. You don't want to wake up with your dad.
I've never even heard of Life Without Dick, man.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a Sarah Jessica Parker and I think Clive Owen or something.
I think all
really?
Of those were horrible.
Yeah, listen, I won. Let's not forget that.
You did.
Okay.
Come on.
I am back on my streak. That's
go ahead,
four
make
and five.
My day. Good. Come on.
There you go.
Get yourself killed.
Well
done, guys.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Yuri. Once again, any of our fans have some, just inbox me on Facebook or Twitter, and if they're good enough, I'll use them and I'll give you a shout out.
There
you
go.
Yeah.
Voila.
All right, let's get to our
shout
top five list of the week. So this is based off of Focus, which mm-hmm. I've learned is a con artist film.
It's more of a con artist film, yeah.
So this is going to be our top five grossing con artist movies. I really want to know how you find this list, because sometimes I'm like...
It's on the underground internet, like the back pages of the internet.
And you specifically went con artist movies?
No, I called my buddy up in Yugoslavia.
Because sometimes I look at this and I'm like, but there's certain movies that aren't here that I would be like, I think that is a con artist film.
So you're
but
saying that my lists are fraudulent?
It's not what I said. All right, number five. The movie 21.
Ah, this was the bunch of kids gambling and cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I never
counting
saw this
cards.
Movie. Did anybody see this?
I did.
I seen it in the theater, actually. No, wait. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think? Is it good?
It's okay.
It was fine.
It's fine.
I don't remember hating it.
So it was one of those movies you've seen you forget.
It was not James Marsden. It was the other guy who fell off the map.
The young British one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I don't remember.
James or Greg Martson. No, I don't know.
Wasn't he in, like, Across the Universe or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But he was in 21, and it made $81 million. And they were, trying to cheat out the casinos.
It was, like, Oxford University or Yale or something.
I think it was loosely based on a true story also.
Yeah, the Asians were really upset because it was all Asians who did it.
Oh, and they whitewashed it.
They whitewashed it because, you know, Jackie Chan wasn't available and, you know, Jet Li and, you know, whoever else that guy is that they
use. I don't think I believe you on
Chris
this.
Chris Chow, whatever.
All right, number four, Maverick.
Yes.
$101 million.
I love this movie.
It's a great movie.
Mel Gibson, James Garner, Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Such a fun movie based on an old TV show. And this is one of Mel Gibson's last great movies, in my opinion, because, you know, obviously...
Yeah, well, Dick Donner directed it.
Right. Richard Donner directed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Such a good movie.
It was a fantastic film. Actually, Mel Gibson, little known trivia on this movie, needed a special a class to be able to pull a gun out of a holster.
Really?
Yeah, because his arm was so used to picking up vodka this way that he couldn't really go that way.
I thought he was going to go somewhere about older weapons, I don't know, swords
his
and
arm
hammers.
Was, his elbow
and who
was just
knows
used
what.
To
and of
going
course,
down
went to
up,
the wagon.
Not sideways.
Right, of course. All right, number three, Identity Thief, $134.5 million.
Pretty recent. I saw this, and I saw early screen of this, and it was like. I don't know. The movie was okay. That's the best way.
I feel like no one would really put it on their like top five liked.
Well, listen, this was riding off the Bridesmaid, Melissa McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was hot at the time. That's really what brought all the money. I mean, Jason Bateman was fine in it, but he's not bringing in money like this.
Well, here's
this was McCarthy.
The deal was it was two guys at first. It was supposed to be Chris Tucker and Jason Bateman.
No way, really?
Yeah, Jason.
He's been telling so many stories today. Yeah. I don't know if he's lying or telling
But Jason Bateman, that's what's going to be the new thing when we do this top five. I'm going to have little stories for this thing. I forgot
just
to inform
facts.
You guys. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, he seen Bridesmaid, and he was like, we can't. He called the studio. He's like, can we replace Chris Tucker with this Melissa McCarthy? And they're like, who? They've seen it. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So he fired Chris Tucker.
Wow.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. I mean, I that's curious. I wonder how that movie, it's a much different movie
but,
with him in it.
Well,
they've
but
been
he was
doing
probably right because she was the one who brought in the money that got them to the $134 million that has it on this list.
Good move, Bateman.
All right, number two, American Hustle. $150 million.
I'll be the first one to say I hated this movie.
I'll be the first one to say that this movie was so overhyped and should not have been nominated for all the awards it was nominated for.
Yeah. I'm between you two. I don't hate the movie. I like it, but I am with you. I understand getting nominated, but not to the degree it was.
The extent
I understand
that this movie was just like
praised,
built up and said it was amazing and that it was like the greatest thing and it was nominated in like every category. Mm-hmm. I was just like, no, it actually made me kind of dislike the movie. I was like, and it was a good movie.
It was a
fine movie, but it was not this outstanding masterpiece of a film.
No.
They threw a bunch of stars in the film, and it was fun, and there was some good music, but it wasn't great.
The
it was
costumes,
not a great movie.
The costumes overshadowed everything.
Here's the thing. If you're asking me Oscar technical awards, I thought it looked great. I thought the production was fine. The one I didn't really agree with was Bradley Cooper, I think, got nominated, and he was just so cartoony over top for me. It's not a bad performance, but not an Oscar-worthy performance. Bale, I thought, Christian Bale is probably the best thing in a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Bale killed it in a movie. And
it's an interesting fact in a movie, too.
What is there? There's a lot. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence has
that.
She has a Dorito eating problem. Like, she eats a lot of Doritos on set. So basically, she ruined a couple of dresses with Dorito stuff.
I think something's true about this.
And
you're talking about the white dress she wore.
Yeah,
she did get
And Bradley Cooper was like, listen, I love Jennifer, David O. Russell, but her breath smells like Doritos. We need to do something about it. So her assistant had to have like a little thing of mouthwash over before she did a scene with Bradley Cooper.
Who doesn't want to kiss Jennifer Lawrence that tastes like Doritos? What is he talking about?
And rumor has it, that's why she fought David O. Russell.
I agree.
She fought David O. Russell
on
a new set of Joy.
Yeah.
Because she switched from regular Doritos to Cool Ranch, which are worse.
I didn't know that.
I knew they got a fight. I didn't know that was the
cause. Smelled really bad.
All right. So number one on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Me If You Can.
Listen.
$164 million. What is the listen for, JT?
Spielberg, DiCaprio, Money in the Bank.
Fantastic movie.
This movie was great.
Yeah, great movie. Mm-hmm. And again, this is one of those movies I feel like no one really mentions anymore when it comes to Spielberg.
No, it's fantastic.
I feel this and like...
That's true.
Some movies I understand, like Terminal...
He only wanted to produce this. He was like the fifth choice of director, and a lot of people a lot of people dropped out. And he was like, you know what, screw it, I'll do it. James Gandolfini was supposed to play Tom Hanks' character, but the production ran over, and he had to go back on the set of Sopranos, which obviously is his moneymaker.
I need to revisit this movie because I haven't seen it. I don't think I've seen it since theaters.
I feel like it holds up. Oh, see, I revisited a couple of years ago.
I don't think I've revisited.
I really do think it holds up.
It's 85% true. Frank Abagnale Jr.
There we go.
I mean,
That is our top five grossing con artist movies.
Yep.
Different than originally we were going to do a heist list, but we changed it to con artists.
I think those are all con artist films. None of those really come off as heist movies, really, except for, I guess,
Well, heist movies, you know, you start getting into
like
Ocean's 11 and Heat, and that's where it gets a little convoluted.
So I feel like
heist is a lot more violent.
Oh, yeah.
Heist involves guns. None of these movies really involve, like, any holdups or anything.
Those are just con artistry.
Common people,
There we go. All right, now let's get to our upcoming films so that we can talk about some predictions. Upcoming big ones worth mentioning. Number one, Chappie. The robot movie. Who's coming out, and he, like, has a big gold chain.
It's Short Circuit.
Like, it's, like...
It's Short Circuit with an R-rated futuristic setting. That's the way. I mean, I
well,
remember
it's artificial intelligence. It's kind of like what was the one? What was the one AI? Robin Williams was in?
Oh, Bicentennial Man.
Bicentennial Man.
Oh God, that is not a movie I thought about when I saw this trailer. I mean, it look. The thing is,
it's totally that same debate over like what makes someone a
yeah,
human.
That's true.
If you can think or if you don't, like what makes you worth something. Like that Bicentennial Man was like him being part of the family. This one's like you being a respected citizen.
Yeah. In some ways, speaking of Spielberg, AI.
Yeah,
the Haley Joel Osment. Yeah. Yeah, this movie looks great. I mean, I didn't love Elysium, but I really like District 9.
I mean, yeah, that's what this movie's bringing in. Mm-hmm. Because I think that if you just look at the poster, you can totally be like, ah, teen movie. But it's the R rating, it's who's directing it, that this is going to be a much more violent film than I think we expect.
The thing I wonder from the trailer is, like, the special effects look really well. I can't tell if the robot's all CGI or if he's, like, part practical. It's hard really to tell.
I haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah, I'm really curious. But
they brought some Japanese guy in to, program the robot.
Well, that makes sense. They're, like, the leader in robot.
Yeah,
Hugh Jackman's in this movie.
Yeah, he's the Australian chipmunk. He's got the Australian chipmunk hair.
Yeah, he does.
So we'll see. Chappie is coming out. It has a huge wide release, so we're bringing in lots of money.
My grandfather was named Chappie. But he wasn't like a robot. He was like a womanizing alcoholic, like minor league umpire.
I think it's going to be a good mix. Chappie seems like it's definitely going to be a violent film. It's got this whole like artificial intelligence, like human, what makes someone human theme. And then on top of that, they seem to throw in a lot of humor. So I think it's
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I saw some humor in a trailer, but it definitely looks dark.
It's dark, but I definitely think there's quite a few like laugh out loud moments in that film. Then going to Unfinished Business.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh,
this
looks
not good.
This is...
Oh, poor Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, supposedly something along the lines, breaks off his company, and then there's this huge deal on the line, but, like, Sienna Miller comes in, and there's some sort of rivalry between them, and he, like, has to get this deal to save his new company. It's supposed to be, like, to me, I feel like they're kind of branding it as, like, you know, the workforce meets the hangover.
Like, gung-ho
and they tried
slash... I think about this, man, this is a bad movie for Dave Franco to come out and try to be a big star.
Yeah, he was on a roll,
star.
Too.
Yeah, I think they're trying to put him out there, and they, this is like, hey, this is the one that's going to break him. You know, Neighbors obviously wasn't his movie, technically. It was more Zac Efron and Seth Rogen. I don't know. The trailers are so bad. Vince Vaughn's got to stop doing this kind of comedy for a little while. Focus on True Detective, which I have high hopes for.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, just stop doing it. Him and Owen Wilson just need to stop for a little while.
Why'd Owen Wilson get into the throne?
Because they just go hand in hand.
Because of Wedding Crashers?
Yeah.
Listen, I think Vince Vaughn could be like one of the funniest guys in Hollywood if he's put in the right movie in the right role. And I do agree he's doing the same thing a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Like this character, you could plug him out of Breakup. You could plug him out of just about any comedy he's done.
He's
Fred
one
Claus,
note.
Which was horrible.
It's one note. It's like that serious, like, am I kidding joke.
But it's you know, it's funny though. You go back and when he first started his career, he tried doing dramas.
Psycho.
Yeah, it's like, well, he did a movie called, I think it was Unbroken Pals or something like that.
No, Domestic Disturbances with Travolta.
Oh, yeah, it's, and it's like, I go back and I can't even watch those movies now because he's so established himself as this funny guy. But then you see stuff like Wedding Crashers and Old School and it's perfect.
Yeah.
So I just think it's the material, the directors, and the writing.
I just don't think he's a lead anymore. I think he could play like what he did in like Old School, which is like that secondary,
I agree. I agree with that. I think that that's very true, which is kind of sad. But Unfinished Business is coming out this weekend, so we will see how it does in the box.
Adios, Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
That's the thing. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is the only thing that would have gave it some competition right now, and that thing is buried. So it might do okay just because.
No. I think Chappie has competition for it.
Well, again, in predictions, I think Chappie will be number one, but saying as far as like.
Say it's pulling a lot of the people from that audience.
I guess so. That's tough.
Look at this week's number one, which is Focus, and then you have Chappie coming out, and then you have Unfinished Business, like. Who's going to all of these movies and
but
where they're going to go? It's going to be
Chappie. Chappie and Unfinished Business do have totally different kind of, like, might be same audience,
totally,
but it's two totally, people might, they're going to go to that theater and going to make a decision. Do I want to laugh or do I want to, like, you know, action sci-fi? So I think it's going to be really
split. I still think you can laugh in Chappie, and I think that people know that.
I don't know. The trailers, nothing on those trailers.
Well, we have one more.
Jackman's hair.
We have one more.
The Australian chipmunk.
Good point.
We have one more one upcoming more. Release to talk about, and that is the second best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yeah.
Which is coming out because people loved the first one.
Isn't it erotic this time around? Instead of exotic?
No.
I don't know why I always get that confused.
That might have been a smart bet, though, with the whole 50 Shades thing going on.
I'm sure there's some sort of spoof in there.
I got a great story about this.
I can't wait
to hear it. Just sit back and listen to it. It's amazing.
Okay, go ahead.
Richard Gere's in this new one.
Yeah, he is. The American.
So, you know, there's a big ongoing feud on a 70s movie, The Lords of Flatbush.
Oh, Stallone.
Stallone.
Old school Stallone.
And Richard Gere. Okay, two like up-and-coming actors, but Gere had a little bit more under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on craft service break, leather jackets, all dressed up. Stallone has a hot dog, and he's destroying it, obviously. Okay. Richard Gere has like a chicken gyro with like grease and mustard everywhere. And Stallone's like, look, Richard, I don't like you already, but if that mustard comes anywhere near me, if you're eating like a monster, you're gonna know about it. And Gere's like, whatever, dude. Sure enough.
It's a true story.
Mustard gets on Stallone's jeans. Without a word being spoken, he elbows him like right in the larynx, pushes him off a chair.
Yeah.
The director comes and like breaks it up. Everybody goes crazy. He's like, one of you is going to have to leave. Gere's like, see you later, Stallone. He's like, no, Richard. Actually, you get out of here.
Yep.
Fire Richard Gere on the spot.
Yeah.
Stallone says Richard Gere still hates him to this day, and he thinks he made up the gerbil story.
That's true.
But I talked to Frank Stallone the other day. And Frank told me he made up the gerbil story.
Frank's taking the heat for Sly?
Frank did it.
Listen, that's an
absolute...
Let me tell you, that's an absolutely true story, because I've heard that story before.
Okay.
It's well documented. Stallone didn't like Gere from day one.
Hates him.
And he was... I mean, and...
Stallone, it's a pompous idiot.
I've heard Stallone tell us, you know, the story in interviews. And when that mustard went down and hit his leg, he just lost it.
Hey, Stallone warned him.
Yeah.
You gonna mess with
him? Yeah, he did warn him. That's true.
Guy was on the heels of Ryan Rocky.
I think he said Gere kind of saw him as, like, you know, a lower class actor. And
that's
was like,
what
oh,
he
yeah.
did.
And
that's then, what he
know,
did.
A couple years later, best pitcher winner.
Yeah,
Rocky.
There you go. And Stallone turned down Officer and a Gentleman.
Well, you got at least one true story today.
Who's the bigger actor? If you're asking right now, who's the bigger actor, Stallone or Richard Gere?
Come on, no competition.
No competition. I mean, we're talking billions.
Stallone turned down Gere's best role, Officer and a Gentleman.
That's right, yeah.
Turned it down. He's like, here, take that.
That's true. It's totally
okay.
true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really understand how that really plays that much into the second exotic Marigold Hotel.
Good point. We did get off on a tangent there. Yeah. But he is in
a good story.
Gere is in the movie. I think, listen, the older audiences will come out in droves when something like this, because it's rare a movie that targets them actually comes out. So I think it's going to do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And it has really good word of mouth. And like everyone in it is some really class act actors.
It'll be it'll surprise a couple of people.
I agree.
Whoever's calling in, you might want to have it in your top five.
Yeah, you might want to put it up
That's
there.
What I'm thinking. Like, where do I put it?
So if you,
that
you know,
is the hard point. All right, guys, let's get into our predictions for the week. So have to keep in mind, Chappie, Unfinished Business, the second best exotic Marigold Hotel.
We'll be taking calls after this.
And you've got our last five, remember... Focus, Kingsman, SpongeBob, 50 Shades of Grey, and The Lazarus Effect, all of which was a very tight race. Yeah. So let's talk about this next weekend.
All right.
JT.
I feel like I've been going first every week.
Yeah, Sarah, you go first.
I'm going to go
Sarah,
first.
You have not gone first in a long time.
You know what she does?
I know
her plan. We know
her. We're on her game.
Yeah, I'm on her game. She's trying to get people, she's trying to gauge people's opinions, look at the YouTube thing, and then
figure it out for herself.
I feel
like since I'm the one who starts the conversation, I give it to your side of the table.
I understand.
And then I end up going, but I will start this week.
Yeah,
no problem.
Right.
All right. Let's go with 1 through 5. I'm going to start with number 1, which is going to go to Chappie. Mm-hmm. I feel like it has great word of mouth. The marketing has been going on for months. Mm-hmm. I do feel like people really know about it. The only thing that I think is really interesting is that it does have an R rating, which
I like that a lot.
There have been so many R rated releases this year. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, everything's either rated R or you're going to go to like PG. There's like no
PG-13
anymore.
They don't want to see that anymore. People want to see R movies.
Which is sad because like there are up to a certain age where you can't see them. You have to go with an adult. Like we're talking about why SpongeBob's been in this list for so long.
They're smart.
Because there's no other kids movies out there. The next thing coming out is like Cinderella, and then you have like Home, and you're waiting for like There's like a month window in between each of these.
That's why right. SpongeBob should still be in the top five, because people are going to buy SpongeBob tickets to go see Chappie.
All right. Number one is Chappie.
Number one is Chappie.
Number two.
Then I'm going to give number two. I'm interested to see how much focus drops off.
Mm-hmm.
Being that the reviews aren't absolutely horrible, I think it's not going to drop off as too bad. I think it's definitely going to drop a lot, but I'm thinking probably like 40%-ish. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put Focus number two. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to give it to, this is probably my surprise one, which is going to go to the second best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay.
The reason I'm saying that,
I have a sea hat on, that's why.
Sorry. But the reason I'm going for that is because of the 100-foot journey, which made 10.9 its opening.
Okay. Hmm.
And that's with Helen Mirren. And this is the same crowd. And the last movie made about $40 million. Mm-hmm. Overall, it only opened to like $800,000, but no one knew about it. It made $40 million.
It opened small. Then it got big.
So I'm guessing that this one's going to open around 11, which is where like our two through five were this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Chappie, Focus, the second best Exotic Marigold Hotel. And then, do I want to give it to SpongeBob or not? I'll do SpongeBob and then Unfinished Business.
Wow.
Wow. So, Focus. Wow, totally so Chappie, Focus, Erotic Hotel.
Exotic
Hotel. Lazarus?
No, I'm dropping Lazarus out.
Oh, what is it?
SpongeBob.
Oh, okay.
And then Unfinished Business.
Wow, so 50 Shades of Toast?
50 Shades only made 10.9.
Right. No, I'm saying mine's out. Right. I don't have it in there either.
I'll go now because mine's fairly easy. Number one is Chappie.
Yeah.
And I think number two, Vince Vaughn, still really popular in Middle America. I'm giving Unfinished Business
but
number two.
But think about how many flops we've had this year with A-list actors.
Those trailers, look at movies like The Wing Ringer, which is very much in this line. They do well. Okay. So Unfinished Business number two. Number three is where I'm really having a struggle. I'm either going to go Focus or second best Exotic Hotel. I think Focus is going to drop off pretty hard. Close to 50, and I think second best is going to do good enough to top that, so I'm going to put that number three. Focus number four, number five, SpongeBob.
Okay.
Wow.
Mic all drop. Right.
Okay. Do we have anybody on the phone? No.
No, yeah, it finished this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we do.
We got plenty.
Okay.
Do you want to take one now?
I don't want anybody to take my thing.
Okay. Go real quick.
Is there a phone call right now, Josh? Yeah, there is. All right. Hi, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. You're going to about to give us your top five. What's up? Who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Haroon.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
So I'm just getting my top five right now.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Sacramento. California.
Oh, nice. Nice, dude. Nice.
Never been.
You getting rain over there like we're getting over here?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Let's ask everyone that calls in the weather where they're coming from.
East Coast getting slammed.
All right, buddy. Can you give us your top five? If you get it right and you beat us all, you'll win a little something.
Yeah, Prisoner DVD.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hit us up.
So, number one, I'm going to have Chappie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be like 30, 40 million or something like that. I don't know.
That's a lot.
But, number two, I'm going to say Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to drop off that much. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay there. Then number three, I'm going to have what was the name of it? The Exotic Motel. Or
yeah,
something?
Second best Exotic something. Like
Erotic
that.
Motel.
Yeah.
No, Exotic.
Sorry.
Gosh.
Okay.
So yeah, that's going to be number three. Number four, I'm going to say Kingsman. Unfinished Business. And then number five, I'm going to say Kingsman.
Wow. Ah, so you almost have my list.
That's pretty smart, though.
It's not bad. That's pretty good. Mm.
Are you on Twitter, my friend?
Good.
You're on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, not Twitter, though.
Okay, hit us. Make sure you put it on the main page of Box Office Breakdown main page, right?
JT? Yeah, just let us know how you do.
That's a pretty good list.
Yeah, you got a good chance there, buddy.
What's your name again?
Haroon Taylor.
Haroon. Thanks, dude. Haroon. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good one. It's an interesting name, Haroon.
Yeah.
Yo, I was all ready to get in on this, but then I made my top five, and it was exactly the same as Sarah's.
Really?
So,
yes!
Yeah. So,
okay. I'm with you.
I'm on your team.
You're
you know what?
Team.
Jupiter Josh next week he's into.
All right, go ahead, Finstock.
He could also win the Prisoner.
I've heard enough list. Let's hear Finstock.
Finstock, hurry up.
Obviously, the Australian chipmunk hair Chappie is going to win.
Hugh Jackman's going to be the worst part of that entire movie, and I love him.
My grandfather, Chappie.
Okay.
Number two, unfortunately, I think I agree with JT. People will go out and see this movie unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm talking low numbers again. We're talking, you know, yeah. Chappie's going to win by a landslide, and then we're going to see stuff that separates between a million, 500,000.
Yep. Okay, so how much are you thinking for unfinished business?
12.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So I think I got more than that. Go ahead.
12 to 15. No, okay. No. That's too much. No, that's 12.
Too much?
12.
Oh, see, because I'm thinking, because I think that Best Exotic can get over 10.
I do,
yeah,
too.
But it's only in 1,600 theaters.
I know.
I think Chappie's going to have 25. I think Unfinished will be close to 20. And then Exotic will be right under that. Go ahead. All right, what's your number going. Three?
I got Chappie at 26.5.
Okay. Okay.
Unfinished at 12.2.
Okay. Number three?
Mm-hmm. Focus. Number three.
Three. Okay. Where did I drop
I think it's... you had it at two, I think. Okay. I think Focus will drop off pretty heavily, probably coming in single digits, like 9. Maybe. Yeah, like 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four?
The Erotic Hotel.
Yeah. Okay.
Exotic.
It's going to make some money. Yeah.
I'm going to throw this piece of tape in your smoothie.
What if it lands in my eye, though?
I'm going to throw it in your smoothie. Yeah.
I don't know if you're your aim is that good. Erotic, obviously, number four. I think it's going to do like 7... Same thing it did the first time out when it went wide. 7.5.
Crazy. That's going to be more than that.
Plus, I hate Richard Gere anyway.
What's your last
one? 5 is obviously going to be SpongeBob because I think they're going to buy tickets to
Tappy. So we have the same list except for you expect
Unfinished.
Unfinished to do way better than
Correct.
I do.
It okay. was really tough to get.
Everything
it was
else
really
in
tough
order.
For me to get Kingsman right, out of there, though.
It's really what that pull is. I want to see what Unfinished
Kingman's
business
intriguing.
Does.
Kingman, if that stays in there.
It's, yeah. You're talking about the same demographic as all of these movies. I mean, Kingsman, Focus, Unfinished
Australian
Business,
Chipmunk.
And Chappie are all the same people.
That's why I got Erotic number
that's
three.
Why you,
I think
exactly. That's why that goes up. That's why SpongeBob is staying in the top five.
If I get the top five right next week, can you call Chappie the Australian Chipmunk movie? And also, can you call the Marigold thing Erotic?
We'll see.
If
just
you
a little
win,
side bet. Just a little
if
side
you
bet.
Win, uh-huh. I will announce them that way.
Okay, perfect.
All right, well, let's see if we have any phone calls. Josh, any phone calls come in? All right, let's take some phone calls. Ask us any questions you want about the box office.
Yep.
Obviously, we're not doing more predictions, but if there's anything you want to talk about, throw it at us. We'll get the discussion
sure
going.
A really crazy prediction. Yeah. We'll take that.
Yeah, if you have a super crazy one. All right, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Oh, this is Cool Nerd.
Cool Nerd, what's up, buddy?
It's
dude.
This is Cool Nerd from Twitter.
Yeah, of course, buddy. We know who you are.
What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, man? I have a question about Will Smith.
Sure, man.
Okay.
He's a cool nerd.
I looked up Wolf of Wall Street, and it made like $19 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Smith made about the same with Focus. So is he still a bankable star, or has he fallen off a little bit?
He's definitely falling off. I wouldn't say he's fallen off because I don't think he's done... I haven't seen Focus yet, but from what I've heard, if you look at his flops, it's not as pointed at him. It's pointed as a horrible movie. People still respect him as an actor, still like him as a person, so he's still marketable. Like, he still has an audience that's interested in his life. He's still in the media. He's still a star. He hasn't done anything to disgrace himself too bad, like, acting-wise.
He just had some flops, that's
he's
all.
He's just had some bad movies.
And also,
so he's
real
definitely
quick,
marketable.
He brought The Wolf of Wall Street. That movie opened up at Christmas in a huge marketplace with a bunch of movies coming out.
Absolutely.
It had a huge competition, and it still pulled $20 million for a three-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is going up against nothing.
Yes.
Everything's made $10
million. Going up against the Marigold Hotel.
If Wolf of Wall Street and Martin Scorsese film opened this weekend, it would have made much more money than $20 million.
Oh, absolutely.
True. So it's hard to compare that to Wolf of Wall Street. But yeah, listen, I don't care how big a movie star you are. You make some bad movies. Look at Johnny Depp, the most bankable movie star ever. He's made crap lately.
Did Mordecai.
It's going to fall down.
Well,
I mean, no one in this industry
is safe. Like, he made so many flops in a row, and a lot of it was put on him. If you look at Johnny Depp, though, it's not just that he's in bad movies. It's that he's done a bad job in bad movies.
That's true.
There's a difference.
There's also Will Smith disappeared for a couple of years, too.
I wanted to say something. That was basically up my question. And I just want to say you guys are awesome. I love you guys.
Thanks.
I'm kind of nervous right now.
It's all good.
I don't know why, but
so
I love you guys.
No, thanks for calling,
man.
I
you all the time. Thank
you. Dude.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Keep Twittering up, dude. You got some good stuff.
We follow you all the time.
That's a great question.
All right, thanks, man. Keep watching House of Cards.
Thanks, dude.
Do we got any more? Let's see.
Jubert or Josh? Oh, he's got another one.
We'll take one more. That's it.
One more? Yeah, all right, Pitstock is spoken. One more. Sorry, Tom.
I guess I got back in. This is Don Esposito.
Oh, you're doing. Hey. You have a direct line to the...
Yeah.
I think he's got Jupiter Josh's cell phone number.
I got to give shout-outs on the message board to Heisenberg, Cal, Apollohan,
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome, Dylan. Thanks.
Are you giving
us
any of your predictions? Going to redeem yourself this week?
Real quick.
It won't count. We'll just keep them in the back of our mind.
Do it real quick.
Yes, just for my own redemption, it's going to be number one, Chappie. Number two, Unfinished Business.
Wow.
Just because even Delivery Man pulled in $12 million. It can do that.
Okay. The same way.
Three, Focus. Four, Marigold. And five, I'm going to do Kingsman at five instead of five.
All right.
Okay. Pretty close to mine.
He's a kind of in between the two of you guys.
He would have been right on with me if he picked SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's why I had to change it. I don't want to be like I'm following Tom.
Thanks, Dylan.
Interesting number is going to be Unfinished Business. That's the one we're keeping an eye on this weekend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the wild card, really. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and keep calling in. You seem to be getting through.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
Next week, too.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Yes, call in whatever, dude.
Should we take one more?
Why not?
We got one more, Josh?
All right.
Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. What would you like to talk about?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, it's Dan from New York.
Hey, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Dan.
You guys getting sloshed over there with the weather or what?
Oh, it's awful.
It's awful, right?
Yeah.
What part of it?
I have a question. I actually just tuned in. I don't know if you answered this ever yet, but...
go ahead.
What do you think will make more money on opening weekend domestically? The Fantastic Four or Ant-Man?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Oh,
I'm
going to
go Fantastic Four.
I would go Fantastic Four because it's been movies.
Yeah.
I will go the opposite of you two, and I will say Ant-Man because Marvel is killing it right now, and Ant-Man's going to be following Avengers 2, which
is
going to destroy.
Marvel is killing it, but I think that people love these group ones, and Fantastic Four is a reboot, and you're looking at who's in it. People are all on board for, like, Miles Teller and everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a huge following.
I agree with Sarah.
I disagree with you. I don't think any one of those Fantastic Four are big enough pull to offset Marvel. Marvel, the day of the movie start is dying. It is properties. And Marvel, I don't care what the movie could be, Madea's superhero movie.
Yeah.
If Marvel is putting their logo on it, it will make a crapload of
Marvel.
Money.
I'm a huge fan of Marvel. Yeah. And I'm going to see both these movies, so that's kind of really hard to say because I'm excited for both of them.
I wonder if
but I'm just talking about the... I really like who's in the Fantastic Four.
I do, too.
I like the trailers. I think they're starting to market it well.
But the movie has so much bad word of mouth leading up to it.
I agree. And the last one was just atrocious. But... Yeah, you might be right, JT. I mean, look, Marvel, if they do that tongue-in-cheek humor that they did in Guardians of the Galaxy, then yeah, Ant-Man might have that longevity.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I'm not really sure if... I'm not buying Paul Rudd as the guy, though.
Yeah,
that's my thing. He's like a Joker to me.
Here's the problem. You guys are looking at Paul Rudd. No one knew Chris Pratt before Guardians of the Galaxy. He was a guy from Parks and Rec.
People know
that's
Paul
true.
Rudd. People know Paul
that's
Rudd.
What
they
I'm
have
saying.
A serious opinion about him.
Yes.
And he still is not put
I have
on
never
people's
met,
top list.
I've never met anybody that doesn't like Paul Rudd.
He's a 40-year-old virgin.
I
think Ant-Man has... it could be Green Lantern, just like that. Like Seth Rogen, whoever.
Listen,
not Green Lantern. Green, whatever he was.
Guys, what did The Amazing Spider-Man 2 do? And people love Spider-Man. It's not good enough if there's not an established like brand behind it.
Yeah.
And also, Avengers 2 might even have a tag at the end of the movie leading to Ant-Man.
Of course it
and
will.
Every person that sees that movie is going to see that tag and be like, well, I got to go see Ant-Man.
Well, it remains to be seen.
They're going to both make
JT.
So much money.
What's up, Dan?
What's up, dude?
Yo, JT, you're my hero.
Thanks, buddy. I'm trying to do my best here.
He's every man's hero.
I'm every man's hero.
Well,
that's it.
Listen, Dan, you and me are on the same page. I'll try to educate these two.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the
Thanks,
call.
Thanks, man.
All
Thanks
right.
for calling.
Well, you guys, thank you, everyone, for calling in today, for making your predictions. We're going to have to follow this weekend, see how everything does, because we'll be back next Monday. So make sure You follow us. You subscribe to our channels. You watch Popcorn Talk Network. Mm-hmm. You watch Box Office Breakdown. Go watch all the Schmoes Knows. Watch AfterBuzz TV. Come mm-hmm. on, guys. And rate and comment and Twitters. Mm-hmm.
And Twitter, I am at SchmoesJTE.
At Bob Finstock.
And also follow our friend Cool Nerd.
Yeah, Cool Nerd's great.
Cool Nerd's awesome.
Yeah, he tweets all the time, man. The dude's awesome.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah. I don't even think he
and
sleeps.
Thanks to all the callers. Dan, Dylan, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was that guy, Haru?
Yeah.
It sounds like a Disney.
I don't think that was
like,
his name.
If I saw a Disney movie. It's something like that, but it reminds me of like a Wagner. Disney character.
He'll hit us up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. If you called in, make sure you hit us up on Facebook or Twitter so that we can get back to you guys. Thank you again. Tune in next week.
Yes, sir.
Keep watching those numbers.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.